time to play the game. Time to play the game! It's all about the game, and how you play it. All about control, and if you can take it. All about your debt, and if you can pay it. It's all about pain, and who's gonna make it.
Yo, welcome back to the Game Sports Show. This is a special edition of the Game Sports Show. This is the Hot Seat, brought to you by myself, EJ Russell, and Escanaba Excellence, the notorious N-O-R-S-E. My buddy Tyler Ouellette is riding co-pilot today. Tyler, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, EJ, doing great. Back at Moe's Pub on this lovely Thursday night, watching some Sunbelt football at the moment. Just doing great. Ready to be back.
Well, the only reason we're watching Sunbelt football is because you wouldn't let me put the Astros-Rays game on. But the Hot Seat brought to you by the Game Entertainment Media, ESPN 1400, powered by thegamesportsshow.com. Check us out at thegamesportsshow.podbean.com. You can check out all of the episodes of the Game Sports Show from the Monday night edition on ESPN 1400 WKNW. You can check out the In the Pocket segment with Dave McKay. Butch on Sports, Simply Butch 2. That's too.podomatic.com. The Hot Seat, all of the many editions of the game. Again, check us out at thegamesportsshow.podbean.com. Tyler, it's the Hot Seat. I apologize to anyone who may have already become fans of this show, and unfortunately we weren't able to put out a third week because, well, we suck at this. We're new. We're not perfect.
We don't suck.
Well, apparently I suck because you sounded great last week. I don't think anybody could hear me. It was terrible. So I don't know what happened, so I apologize that the show wasn't able to come out, but we're here. It is today, October 15th, and we're here. And if we're going to talk about the Hot Seat, Tyler, what do we always start off with? Our gripes and groans. So I'm going to give it to you first, my friend. We got our Hot Seat this week. Who's on the Hot Seat? Start with you. Go.
All right, EJ. The biggest, latest news in the NFL, the Jets. Well, that's the Hot Seat. The Jets. Le'Veon Bell. He's gone. They released one of the better running backs of the league just like that. They tried to trade him for, like, what was it, like 2 hours, it seemed like? Traded for 2 hours.
A hot minute.
Yeah, boom, release. Just an unreal – that's a flop by the Jets organization, who are 0-5 currently with Adam Gase under coaching, and Bell's gone. They're the worst team in the NFL. They're on my hot seat right now, week one, EJ. I don't
– Why? I think that the thing with the Jets that bothers me most has to be Adam Gase. I mean, Le'Veon Bell is obviously a great talent. Breaking news, as we're recording the show, Le'Veon Bell is now expected to sign with the champion Kansas City Chiefs. Boy, howdy, does that look – how do they lose the rest of the way?
But, scary.
Dude, they're going to be unbelievable. But let's stay focused on the Jets here because I'm sure we'll get in the Chiefs in a little bit. Adam Gase is a problem, and his quote for – Le'Veon Bell getting releases, it is what it is. Are you kidding me? This is a guy that when he touched a football in Pittsburgh was Mr. Automatic before the contract dispute. Yes, he turned down a $70 million offer from the Pittsburgh Steelers because he thought the $17 million guarantee was too low, and I agree with him the way that he was running the football then. But he's still an incredible talent. This is a guy that came out of Michigan State, played great football for the Spartans, played great football for the Pittsburgh Steelers, played great out of the passing game, played great out of the rushing game. One of my favorite stiff arms of all time, and we'll get into stiff arms a little bit later here.
Yeah, we will.
You can't let a talent like Le'Veon Bell go. You can't find ways to trade away your best player like Jamal Adams and just continue to find success with a quarterback named Sam Darnold. Okay, and I think he's the biggest problem there outside of Adam Gase. I liked Todd Bowles a lot more than I like Adam Gase here. Adam Gase had already flopped in Miami. Him coming to New York Jets, I thought was a terrible move. I really liked what Todd Bowles was doing there. I thought he was building a stronger defense. But, Tyler, I got to agree with you wholeheartedly. Jets are on the hot seat.
Yeah, you brought up how Gase flopped in Miami. I don't know how New York saw him as a good coaching candidate, and obviously they hired him. But
it must have been the crazy eyes.
The crazy eyes or something else, EJ. I don't know about those. He's like a robot or something, alien. I don't know. It's scary stuff. But, yeah, they're just not – it's not clicking. I think Gase is going to be gone, and he needs to be gone. The Jets are just a sorry franchise, and that's coming from a Lion fan.
Does Gase make it through the season, or do they fire him before the end of the year?
Honestly, I thought he'd be gone by now. Like, I thought, like, I don't know. I think he would be gone by now. So I think he might make it with this Jets organization. I don't know how they're handling things.
I agree. I think he'll make it to the end of the year, but I think he should be gone early.
Right. I do too. I agree with that. So our gripes and groans. Moving on.
Wait a second. I got a gripe and groan real quick before you get into the next one. We didn't do our shot.
That's you're right. Let's
gotta hit that, man. Come on, let's go. Rookie. All right, beautiful. There we go. Burn so good, little Pink Whitney. Tyler, go ahead. Gripes and groans.
Oh, the next one, the Houston Astros. And they are down 3-1 in the series against the Rays. They did get a W last night, but Jose Altuve in general has been not great fielding. This is a former Gold Glover who three errors in the first three games, and those are major, major errors, you know. I was watching game three, and it was like a 1-1 game. And he had a routine ground ball in the second, throwing to Correa at short for double play. Throws an error. The Rays score five runs in that inning alone. And the score is like 5-2 at the end. So Jose Altuve, however, he has been hitting really well. That, it's weird how he can't balance both. But he has had a home in his last three games. He's homered in the first inning, his first time out of the game. So he can hit the ball. I don't know what's going on in his head defensively. I don't know if there's like an injury, arm injury or something like that. But it's definitely interesting to see Altuve and how he's struggling on the defensive side.
His defense has been, I don't want to say terrible because he's still better than the average player, but terrible right. for him. This is the type of player that needs to be competing for a Gold Glove every year. He has been hitting particularly well. As we're talking right now, he's 1-for-1 at the plate tonight with 2 walks. So he's getting on the pads, which is what he's supposed to do. But the main reason why the Astros are on our gripe and groans list isn't because of Jose Altuve's ability to play the game. It's because they're in the ALCS, and I don't want them to win. That's why they're in my gripes and groans.
Who does?
Because they're a bunch of cheaters, and I don't want them to do anything. I don't want them to be successful. The only team ever to come back from 3-0 is the Boston Red Sox, and the Houston Astros certainly aren't that team. However, George Springer, What was the statistic? Did you see it today? The number of home runs that he's hit? Was he's hit 15 home runs in the playoffs? It's something like third all time. Did you see that line? I might be a little off here.
I didn't see that stat, but I know he tears it up in the playoffs. He has a home run today.
Dude's a stud.
Yeah, he's like, you can – it was obviously an awful thing to cheating on what they did. But, like, they're still really good baseball players. So that's why the cheating was such a big thing. Like, they're good already, and then, boom, they get that advantage. So, yeah, Springer, I think he's one of the better players in the league. Hitting-wise, obviously had a down year this year. But, yeah, I mean, Springer, he's up there.
Yeah, and you were getting a little choppy there, and I know you were talking about George Springer a little bit, but he is fantastic in the playoffs. He does do a great job. But let's be honest, Tyler, the only reason that the Houston Astros are in our gripes and groans is because we don't want him here in the ALCS. We don't want to see him do well. We're afraid that we're going to hear the garbage can start banging again, and they're going to end up flopping their way to another World Series. You know, I'm glad Tampa Bay's up 3-1. Houston's currently winning the game 3-2. But I think Tampa Bay is, and you pointed this out a couple weeks ago with the no money, playing that money ball style game. They've been doing a fantastic job of finding success. I think that Tampa Bay is the best team in the American League. Maybe not the most talented. I think the Yankees were the most talented, but they beat the Yankees to get here. They're a good team. Kiermaier is, in my opinion, one of the most underrated superstars in Major League Baseball right now.
Well, the big thing with the Rays right now is their defense. Their defense has been unreal. I don't know how much of game three you watched. That was the main game I watched so far in the series. Just unreal. Kiermaier, he got hurt actually in that game making a diving catch. Or no, he got hit. He got hit, my bad. He got hit, and that's where he got hurt. But he had like two crazy good plays. And then let's talk about Arozarena. The best he's been the best player in the playoffs all like across the board. He's batting over 400 this postseason. Just a crazy, kind of a crazy story. I mean, he barely made the roster out of spring training, and they're just tearing it up this year in the postseason. Let's see. He has 5 home runs, 7 RBIs, and he's batting .442 leading up to this game. So just an unreal tear for him. But, yeah, like you said.
Go ahead and throw this in there, too. Last 7 days, he's had 19 at-bats, 6 hits, 1 double, 2 home runs, 3 RBIs, and 19 at-bats. That's a pretty good job.
Yeah, he's tearing it up. And that's, like you said, the Moneyball thing. Have you ever heard of that guy before this year? No, I have not. So,
but when you run a team like Tampa, that's what you have to do. I mean, you're going to have your couple of stars. Like, Kiermaier's the guy that they need to go chips in on and try to keep him at a value. I think you're going to see him become, like, the new Evan Longoria there in Tampa. And that's if they can keep the team in Tampa. Because I have a strange inkling that they may be moving that franchise back to Montreal and recreating the Expos in some way, shape, or form. Because, you know, I know you and I have talked about this on the show before. Tropicana Field is not it. That is not a great place to catch a ball game. I don't enjoy doing the ball games there when I've been to the game. It's just I don't know that Tampa's the best home for that team. Think about this. Other than their one other good deep playoff run, the biggest moment in Tampa Bay Rays history is Wade Boggs hitting, what was it, the 500, 600 home run, whatever it was, and then drinking the legendary 60 beers on a cross-country flight, whatever. I mean, that's their biggest moment. So I like seeing Tampa Bay be successful. I have been to games in that stadium. I am a closeted Rays fan just because my family spent a lot of time there vacationing. I just don't know that that's a place for them. But I'm glad that they're being successful, and I'm glad that they're going to knock off the team that's on the hot seat for me, the Houston Astros. The only reason they're on the hot seat is because I don't want them here.
Well said, EJ. Well said. Who's on your third hot seat? We got one more to go.
I'm just 2 points. Mississippi State Bulldogs, 2 points. Are you kidding me? You're going to get your butts kicked in, get your absolute rear end dragged to the street, and you're going to – what was the final score of that? Something to two?
24-2 to Kentucky out of all schools.
2 points. The only other game that I can remember a team scoring 2 points was when Ohio State was playing University of Akron. I want to say it was like 2006, 2007. It's first game of the year. It was one of those trap games. And at halftime, it was 3-2, and then Ohio State blew them out in the second half. But I can't remember a team scoring 2 points in a game.
Their quarterback, KJ Costello, threw 55 times. And they scored 2 points.
Did I hear the stat line was 70 total passes in that game? And you scored 2 points in Mike Fence? Figure it out.
In the SEC. They beat LSU this year. I mean,
wow. Sub hot seat here. Let's take the Astros down for a minute. Let's put LSU up there. What's going on? Defense looks terrible.
Yeah, they're 1-2 now, not ranked. These are the defending national champions, 1-2. That's I don't know what's going on there. Coach O, I don't know what he's doing. I mean, it's definitely not on him, but a loss at Missouri, 45-41, cannot happen as a reigning national champ.
Who's the defensive coordinator? Is that Bo Pelini? Is he the defensive coordinator there?
I can do a quick fact check for you.
Pull that up. I want to – whoever their defensive coordinators, I know it's a name that I remember. And somebody said Bo Pelini, and I'm not a big college defensive coordinator guy. Tyler, who is the defensive coordinator there?
Kevin Steele.
Okay, who – never mind.
I don't know.
Maybe I was mishearing information between one team and another. There's 100-something different teams in college football, so sorry if I come incorrect one time. But – LSU, you're definitely showing that Joe Burrow was the reason that you won last year.
Wait. Sorry. He is. Bo Pelini.
It is Bo Pelini. Right. Yeah. Okay, I'm not crazy. All right. I don't know who this Kevin Steele guy is, but he can.
Someone for LSU is coaching.
Well, he's just trying to steal the headline. But
Was good.
Oh, yeah, a little punniness to this. Let the sudsy, the barley sodas flow here at Moe's Pub in Escanaba. By the way, coming for you live from Moe's Pub in Escanaba, 24 TVs, multiple local craft beers on tap. Moe's Pub in Escanaba, best place to catch a game in Escanaba, best pub in Escanaba. But as we're sitting here drinking our barley sodas, Tyler, Bo Pelini came. He was Wisconsin guy. And then I think he went to Nebraska. And he just hasn't been what he was. And for now, for him to be a defensive coordinator and do this the way that he has, LSU looks like a dumpster fire this year. Mississippi State looks like a dumpster fire this year. However, it's a transition year. Okay, Mike Leach needs some time to get his guys. Who's the quarterback that he had in Washington State is now playing for Jacksonville Jaguars?
Had a little bit of talent to him.
Minshew.
Little Gardner Minshew. So I think he can bring that kind of swagger to Mississippi State. I think that this is a look-over year. I think LSU, you just lost so much talent to the NFL draft that's the reason they're not good. But those two teams are on the hot seat for me. A little SEC football on the hot seat.
Yeah, it's funny. LSU has lost a lot of talent, and they're struggling. That's kind of compares them to Bama, where Bama loses talent every year. They're always still top five, it seems like. They never really fall off. So that's kind of a weird comparison that I just thought of. Like, you would never see Bama lose 2 out of 3 after winning a national championship. So,
well, let's get away from the hot seat here for a second, okay? And I know our initial plan was going to NCAA football, but you brought up Nick Saban. So we're going to skip a segment. We're going to go to NCAA here. Nick Saban, out. COVID. He's got the coronavirus. So, Tyler, who's the head coach for Alabama, and what are your thoughts going in this week's game?
So, Steve Sarkisian is taking over.
Yes, well said. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you. I did my research, you know. Got to be prepared for the hot seat. Former USC head coach. Struggled there. Not for long. Not a long tenure, but I still think Saban is going to find a way to he's gonna find a way to make some play calls in this game through Zoom or something. It's going to be too much for him not to be able to coach this game.
Now, I was listening to a clip earlier, and he cannot call to the coach's box. But I believe that there's no rule that explicitly prevents him from texting. So I know that that's a gray area, but Tyler, you think he's going to coach this weekend? You think he's going to be involved in the box?
What a world we are living in where we're talking about a head coach having to text plays.
He probably doesn't even send his own text messages anyways.
That's true. He doesn't know technology. But I don't know. I mean, it all depends on the guidelines. I haven't looked into it too much. But, I mean, this is against number 3, Georgia. 2 versus 3. This is probably the worst week this could have happened for Saban. And it throws a lot. That throws off Alabama's football team, like, player-wise. Like, it's just going to be a whole different feel. I looked up a little things, and, like, Saban said him and Sarkisian are still talking about how they're going to handle this and whatnot. I did see that if Saban tests negative, like, 3 times in the next 2 days, because if it was, like, a false positive, he can come back and coach Saturday. That's, like, the guideline, but I don't know how those are going to play out. But
yeah, but do you think that – okay, so I'm going to intermix some topics here, okay? Odell Beckham Jr. is out for the Browns because he's ill. Did not have a positive COVID test, okay, but he's out. NFL is debating changing rules that players that are sick need to self-isolate for X amount of time. Do you think that the NCAA, even though Nick Saban might have 3 days, do you see a situation where they may still keep him out on the sideline? And I think that before I let you go here, is there a way where they still keep him out? Okay. Number two, Kirby Smart is a Nick Saban guy. Okay. So my first question is there a way that Saban stays out? Second part of that question is this not the perfect opportunity for the Dogs to take down the Tide? Nick Saban, a coaching tree guy, Kirby Smart, running a Georgia offense that has always run the ball particularly well, plays great defense. Is this Georgia's opportunity to finally push past the Tide and make a run at the national championship?
EJ, I think this is the perfect opportunity. Why, like, what other chance will you ever get until Saban pretty much retires, where he's not going to be on the sideline for an Alabama football game?
He's going to die before he retires.
Exactly. It's going to be on his death. Like, that's the last time. And this Kirby Smart has to take advantage of this. He has to. In the SEC, like, you don't get these opportunities ever against an Alabama football team. And is this game at Alabama or at Georgia too? I think it is. And if it
is, I believe it's in Atlanta. I think are they playing this at the Dome, the Georgia Dome?
They might be.
Or are they playing this in Athens? I wanted to say I heard this was at the Dome.
Let me look this up really quick.
Well, while you're looking that up, I really think that this is a good opportunity for Kirby Smart with his visor well himself. I do dig that visor, dude. It's a good look for him.
Looks nice.
Well, you got Saban with the straw hat in summer, and you got Kirby Smart with the visor. But I think Georgia has run a very good program these last couple of years. Probably the best that I've seen them look since, and I'm going to throw an old name out here, probably the best I've seen them look since Herschel Walker, okay, who, in my opinion, is the best college running back of all time, had he not went to play for the Washington Generals, who I believe is owned by our current president of the United States, Donald Trump, AFL. But I don't think the Dogs have looked this good since Herschel Walker. I think that Kirby Smart's got the right formula. And I think that this is the perfect storm for the Tide to experience a little low tide and let the big dogs run.
So this game is in Alabama, which is a big difference in my answer. Because imagine if this
are there fans?
SEC football? Yeah, there's fans. Yes, there's fans. I've watched so many SEC games. They're damn near full every game. But, no, if this was in Georgia, imagine that. You have no Saban on the sideline at Georgia. Imagine the communication problems that could have came there. But being in Alabama, I still think Georgia has a better – obviously has a better shot at defeating Alabama without Saban. But that does change some things for me.
So we'll get away from the quick statement. Oh, actually, you didn't answer my one question. Is there a way that even if he has those negative tests, is there still a situation where you think Nick Saban doesn't coach this weekend?
No. If he gets negative that many times, he'll be
you think
sidelines.
So?
Yep.
Think even the rule. See, my problem is that – so, like, let's use myself as an example. Okay. If I show up to work and I have a COVID sheet that I'm required to fill out every day as part of health guidelines or whether it's company policy, doesn't matter. Okay. If I check that box that says I have shortness of breath, I get sent home. Well, first off, I shouldn't even come to work if I have that. Okay. If you're sick, stay
home.
Right,
right.
But if I check that box, I have to go 72 hours symptom free. Okay. So even if he has three consecutive negative tests, is he free of all symptoms? And that's the question that I have. And I don't think that he will be. I don't think that it would be responsible to bring him back because right now I think that COVID-19 IR procedure needs to be taken very seriously. I think that that's the only way that football works right now. I think that's the only way that all of sports works right now. Treat it like an ACL tear. Oh, Tyler Willett, the notorious NORSE, he's down with COVID. He's going to be out for 2 weeks. Okay, great. We ain't got Tyler for 2 weeks. Next man up, which is the Bill Belichick mantra. So I don't think Saban comes back this week. I think that if there is, and this is where I can see you nodding here, and I think you know where I'm going. I think if any coach is going to be allowed to come back, it's going to be Nick Saban.
Right.
But would there not be a much more exciting college football format without Alabama this year? Without Ohio State this year, without Clemson, like secretly, like I know I want my team to win, the Buckeyes. I almost hope Georgia, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State all just screw away the year and screw it up. And we're going to get
I would love to see Ohio State screw it up.
Oh, thanks. But I'd just like to see different teams, right? No Oklahoma, no Alabama, no Clemson, no Ohio State. Let's get a fresh college football playoff because I think that the fact that we've been stacking it every year with Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, Oklahoma, the same four team. Michigan State was in there for a hot minute. They did great.
Lost by like 80.
I think it would be nice to get some different teams in there. So do I hope that Saban remains unhealthy? Of course not. I think Nick Saban's one of the greatest coaches in the history of college football. Used to be defense coordinator for the Cleveland Browns under Bill Belichick. I'm secretly a fan of Nick Saban as long as he's not coaching the Crimson Tide. But I would like to see a little bit more parity in the NCAA. I think that one of the greatest things at the end, and I know we're mixing topics here, but I think that one of the greatest things that the NFL has done is that every year the worst team gets the best pick. And that creates.
It's not that way in college at all. You know, you right, but can't look, control that.
But look at the NFC South, okay? New Orleans, Carolina, Tampa Bay, and give me the last one.
Tampa.
New Orleans, Tampa Bay, Carolina, and Atlanta. Atlanta's the last one.
Yeah.
For almost 10 consecutive seasons outside these last 3-4 years, a different team won that division every single year. Why? Because the bad teams get rewarded with better players, and that's why almost every year in the last 15. You've seen half the teams that made the playoffs the year before get in. And the problem with college football is you don't get that kind of parity. So separately, kind of in my back pocket, I hope that COVID causes a little bit of that parity here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and this would be a pretty interesting year that you could see that.
Get an SMU in there.
SMU, you wanted to talk about them today for some reason. I mean, good for SMU, but jerseys are nice. No, but the one thing that would be awesome, I think, expand the playoff to 8 teams. Just get it elite. No, you're shaking your head.
No.
Yes, yes. I want 8 teams in the playoff. I do. And I think it would be great.
You better make a good case right here then.
Parity. And, okay. Okay, you don't want to get more than 8. You want eight teams, right? So you can go 2 bye if you really want to, 1 and 2, and then you can go to the last 6 play each other and then the bye. I think that's fair. And because there's so many years, I do understand the argument against it, saying like, oh, is that 5, that 5th team ever even impact? You will never know until you get that team in there. So the top 4 are always so dominant, but I think you need to expand to at least 8. I think 8's the perfect number. No more than 8. It's not college basketball. Stop shaking your head at me. Just say something. Say something.
I wish Scott were here tonight, because most of who I've talked to from the game, including Butch, Scott, Dave, Paul Van Wagner, who works for ESPN, The Drive out of Blacksburg, Virginia, who's going to be joining us for an episode here in the future. A lot of those guys are fans for expansion of the playoff. And I've wholeheartedly sat back and go, no, leave it alone. And here's why. We griped, groaned, complained, put it on the hot seat, pun intended here, that the BCS format was terrible because it put it down to 2 teams and didn't give anybody else a shot. And we sat back and went, what's the perfect solution to this? 4 teams. Because certainly out of those 4 teams, one of them will be the best. Now we want to expand it again. Why? Okay, teams 5, 6, 7, 8 are not going to compete against the way that Alabama's been playing, the way that Clemson's been playing. Okay, University of Central Florida with their undefeated national championship banner.
I don't really agree.
Wouldn't
with that.
Have beaten any of those teams.
I agree with that statement. Yes.
But they would have been the number 5 team that year, probably, or number 6. They were top 8 team that year. So now you're going to throw them in the playoff? What, just go let them get embarrassed? No. I think that the top 4 is great because almost wholeheartedly you can agree upon the best 5 teams in college football. Okay, and I'm saying 5 teams. The number 4 spot is always tough. First college football playoff champion was my Ohio State Buckeyes, and we were debatable. And we got in as the number 4, and we got lucky that we beat Alabama to gain our way in the national championship game. We beat them in the Sugar Bowl. But I just don't see a way that adding 6, 7, 8 matters. I know this is tough and this is hard. I'd rather expand it to a 5th team and do number 1 gets a bye, 2 plays 5, and 3 plays 4. I think that would be better. But then you got to have that argument of 1 versus 2, and then we get into more of the same debate that we're doing now. I don't believe that the college football playoff needs to be expanded. If you're going to do that, we need smaller conferences. We need smaller in-game. We need smaller in-conference schedules. We need smaller out-of-conference schedules, and we need a bigger tournament schedule. But I don't believe that adding a March Madness-style 8-16 bracket in college football is going to really show us that these top 5 teams aren't the best top 5 teams. And I think that that's where the BCS got it right. I think that's what college football playoff got right. I think that's what the BCS had wrong, because it took computer calculations into effect. I think that one of the best things about the college football playoff is the eye test, right? You and I can both watch a game, and we can watch an SMU go roll somebody, which I'm a big fan of SMU right now. And we'll get into that in a minute. I'm a big fan of SMU right now. They're rolling teams by double digits, and it's embarrassing games, embarrassing wins for these losing teams. And Ohio State rolling a team like Indiana 72-12, right? Which team gives you the eye test, right? SMU could score 100 points against whatever opponent they're playing. I'll take Ohio State 72 over a Big Ten team all day. So the eye test is important here, and I think that one thing that college football playoff has gotten right is that the eye test is important, and I think that wholeheartedly you know who the best five. I'm not going to go four because I know it's a four-team playoff. I think that you can wholeheartedly say you know what the best five teams in college football are.
I do. Okay, so I agree. The one thing I do like about the four, only four teams, I will give you guys this, is every game matters in the season. If you were to push it a little more, you know, you could lose, you know, you could lose almost two if you were like an Alabama beat, and then you could, if you're like Alabama, somehow losing two games that you have.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Oklahoma losing two.
Yep, that too. That too. They could get in this year if there was eight teams.
They're not getting.
No. But it's just, if you want that parity, though, like you were talking about, an expanded would go, would help you in that sense. You know, I mean, because I know, but like the chances of an upset or something happening are slim. But if there was like a parity, if there was eight teams, there's a better chance. So it just, I don't know, just hard to tell.
Ooh, big Georgia State run right here. Like, I'm sorry, I stopped listening about the last 2 seconds of what you were saying because that was a nice run.
I was watching you also.
Yeah, you looked up right as I did.
I have Arkansas State right now.
So. Okay, I'm going to touch on my last NCAA football topic here. Okay, and then we'll roll into the NFL, which is our initial plan. Can we please give SMU a little bit of love? And the reason that I want to bring them up, and you and I were kind of discussing this yesterday as we were reviewing the format that we wanted to do, which clearly we're not following at this point.
Not at all.
SMU is, I believe, the only team ever to receive the full two-year death penalty by the NCAA. And they are currently ranked, 17th in the nation in college football. Eric Dickerson, probably their most famous alumni, was he the first NFL rusher to rush for over 2,000 yards with the Los Angeles Rams?
I believe so.
Super famous for the big, thick goggles, man, and the Jerry Curl. Great Jerry Curl. SMU is a program that I am excited to see climbing back because I do enjoy the history of college football. So, Tyler, have you watched SMU? What do you think about them? We were going to bring up the Lafayette Raging Cajuns, which I will give – a little fun fact here for our fans here that I went over yesterday. It has nothing to do with the Raging Cajuns, but a little Louisiana football. Do you think SMU is for real? Do you think they're going to get back to the Southwestern Conference, Texas-Oklahoma kind of status? Is SMU on the road back?
That's kind of what I was thinking as you were talking them up. They're obviously in the American Conference, which is like a newer conference. It's like, it's almost like the Conference USA. I'd say it's a step up.
Is this the AAC?
Yes. Yeah.
This is like Big East / Conference USA.
Exactly. You got like Houston, Navy, Cincinnati's been pretty good this year. But they're in that conference, which is a step up over like Conference USA and per se Mountain West. So they're up and coming. I would love to see them get into like the Big 12. That would be the conference that they would hop into, correct? I mean, that would be their next step up. And if they could get some momentum, I could definitely see that happening just because of their history. I mean, the Pony Express, like their history was they were so good. I mean, they were cheating, whatever, but
they were so bad in what they were doing to be good.
That's true.
And one of the biggest complaints as Big Ten football fans that we have on Southern football fans is cheating. It goes the same both ways. And my Buckeyes are certainly a team that gets attributed or credited with cheating over the Terrell Pryor ring scandal, which is a whole nother argument that if anybody that's listening to this wants to get into this, I'll give you my personal cell phone number and tell you why you're wrong and that you don't understand the corrupt NCAA. But I think the SMU is moving in the right direction. I like what they're doing. One of my favorite jerseys in college football. Dude, they're good, man. And I think the big test is coming up in 2 weeks against Cincinnati. They're going to go up against a Cincinnati team that is currently 3-0 and ranked 8th in the country. What? The Bearcats are ranked
the Bearcats. That high? They play Ohio State. Oh, it's just Big Ten only this year. Do you usually play Ohio State?
The Big Ten and Ohio State are more known for playing a MAC team than a Big East, Conference USA, All-American Conference, whatever you want to call it now. Louisville, by the way, Lamar Jackson is an AAC guy. Louisville was correct. Kind of in this conference, so let's give a little credit to the conference. Probably the AAC, the American Athletic Conference, or air quotes, the Big East, is probably the best non-Power 5 conference, in my opinion.
Well, they have a big mix of teams that could be in Power 5.
And Mountain West is good, too. You had Boise State and Air Force and them in there. I mean, Air Force is never going to be a Power 5 team, but, like, Navy's in this conference. They're good.
UCF is in it, aren't they? Yeah, UCF's in this conference.
Yeah, but I don't think
UCF's... Well, they're always nationally ranked, so that's something for the conference.
Oh, yeah, and they were national champions 1 year, too. I don't buy into UCF that much. The best thing to come out of UCF is Shaquem Griffin with his one hand making it in the NFL draft and going to play alongside his brother for the Seattle Seahawks. And I'm not saying this to mock the guy. I just think that was an incredible story, and I think that's part of the reason that UCF got so much attention that the year that they, air quotes, won the national championship. But I'm buying into SMU. So, Tyler, let's get out of here. We spend enough time on college football. Certainly none of our listeners are here about Southern Methodist University anymore. NFL, what do you got, buddy?
All right, so we already touched on Le'Veon Bell, which pretty much is the biggest news of the day and then this week. But let's go to this sucks. Dak Prescott, obviously he's out for the year breaking his ankle. Horrible injury. It just sucks. It does. And I like Dak. I do. And it's just a horrible timing. He was having a good year passing the ball. He was leading the league in passing yards. Just a fantastic year. And he's out for the year just like that. And it's tough to see. And not to mention, this is his franchise tag year, correct, EJ? He didn't sign a contract.
But the bad thing with Dak is that there was no long-term commitment here. Okay. But I'm going to give an interesting take on the Dak injury, which, by the way, I'm the biggest Cowboys hater in the world. And Scott hates when we use the term hate on there. But I genuinely dislike the Dallas Cowboys, okay? I'm seriously sorry to see Dak go down the way that it is. Nobody wants to see a player get hurt like that, okay? But I think that right now the Cowboys year is in question. Yes, you still have a great running back and great talent on the outside, but I don't know that Andy Dalton coming off the bench is going to be the guy to get it for you. So, Tyler, I'm going to give you an unpopular opinion here.
I know it's coming.
Should the Detroit Lions trade Matthew Stafford, a kid from Detroit, or a kid from Dallas? Oh, here we go. Big touchdown, Arkansas State. I think, Tyler, did you bet on this game?
Yes, and it's looking good. Yeah, you celebrate.
So is this not a great time for the Lions, who have a young core with Hawkinson, Swift, Okuda? Is this not a perfect time for them to trade Matthew Stafford for Andy Dalton and picks? Because I think this is a great move for two reasons. One, you give Matthew Stafford an opportunity to finally win a Super Bowl, okay? And in an offense ran by Mike McCarthy, oh, by the way, he used to coach Green Bay Packers, an NFC North team, which, oh, by the way, a very pass-dominant division. Is there a way that Matthew Stafford makes his way to the Lions? Is there a way that the Lions get to restart and get rid of Patricia and get rid of the front office and start from scratch? Give Matthew Stafford that opportunity that I think that he very much deserves, while gaining a quarterback in Andy Dalton and some picks that can at least get you through the season with a couple wins. What do you think?
No to all of that. For one, I was going to bring up Andy Dalton into the equation.
I was going to give you the second shot, but I'm going to take it.
Anyway, I think, honestly, I was going to bring this up too. In the division that the Cowboys are in right now, how bad it is, I honestly believe they can win this division with Andy Dalton at the quarterback position. I do, and that I saw rumors of Stafford. And
okay, whatnot. I'm sorry to cut you off, but I get aggressive on this one. If you're the Dallas Cowboys, Jerry's World, are you better with Andy Dalton, a guy that's won how many playoff games in his career?
Zero.
I don't need you to look this up. I don't need you to fact check this. Him and Marv Lewis are on the same page, okay? That's why Marv Lewis lost his job in Cincinnati.
He was there too long, honestly.
So are you going to give the Red Rocket another chance to blow it in the playoffs for you? Or are you going to put the ball in the hands of a guy like a Matthew Stafford, who has statistically been a top 10 quarterback almost every year that he's played in this league, and you're going to be bringing him to his hometown of Dallas where the fans are going to rally behind him? Why would you not make that move?
Because, okay, so if you want to go into playoff wins, and I'm a huge Matthew, he's never won a playoff game. And I love Matthew Stafford. I don't think it's all on him, but if you're going to go into that, and there's no way that every playoff loss for Andy Dalton was on him. There isn't. It had the scheme and everything. It just wasn't.
But Andy Dalton's not a Matthew Stafford.
Oh, not at all. Matthew Stafford is so much better. But the reason why I wouldn't make a trade right now and give up picks as Dallas is because of how bad the division is this year. I still think they can. And okay,
but the division's not what's important. Yes, the division's bad. You probably can limp into the playoffs with Andy Dalton. But you got Zeke. You got Michael Gallup. You got CD Lamb. You have, give me Amari Cooper. Why would you not go for broke here?
Because I think they can afford one year of without Dak, and I think they'll make the playoffs anyway. I do, and I think they're going to be totally fine. I
don't think that you sign Andy Dalton here to fill in for 1 year, right? Excuse me. I think you brought Andy Dalton in only to fill in for a year because Andy Dalton is not the best. He's not a Dak backup. Dak throws the ball well, but Dak's also far more mobile than the Red Rocket is. And I think Matthew Stafford's better outside the pocket than Andy Dalton is. Can you really give me a real reason why Matthew Stafford doesn't work for Dallas here?
Okay, if we're talking about working for Dallas, Matthew Stafford does. He's obviously the better option. But if we're looking long run, I don't – okay, this is assuming Dak makes a full healthy recovery, which I think he will. I don't think the Lions would ever do it. I don't think they – because I think the Lions are going to end up drafting a quarterback either this year or next year and grooming him behind Stafford. They don't – if the Lions would trade Stafford for Andy Dalton, it just doesn't make sense because they're going to draft a quarterback and then groom him behind Andy Dalton.
I'm not talking a straight-up trade, though.
You said Andy Dalton for Matthew Stafford.
And picks.
Okay, I don't care about the picks. I mean, it's the – if you're talking about
the
future –
the picks matter. You're going to try to build the future. How do those picks not matter?
Okay, they do, but I'm saying future quarterback. I'd rather have a quarterback be groomed behind Matthew Stafford over Andy Dalton or Chase Daniel. That's all I'm saying. Like, it doesn't help them in the future. The picks would help. I don't know how much Dallas would give up for a Matthew Stafford, though. They wouldn't give up a ton of picks. That's maybe like a third rounder.
But if you're dumping Stafford to get him to Dallas, in my opinion, okay, and I'm going to give a comparison here. The last couple of years of Joe Thomas, best left tackle in the history of National Football League, in my opinion, best left tackle in Cleveland Browns history.
Good resume.
Joe Thomas. Never missed a Pro Bowl, never missed an All-Pro team, 10,000-plus consecutive snaps. Dude's a stud, okay? You can see him on the NFL Network now, and he's still incredibly brilliant, as many hits as he's taken, okay? Every year for the last 2 or 3 years of his career, you would hear news of the Browns wanting to trade him away. And every year you heard news or whispers or ins and outs of Joe Thomas going, hey, no, Cleveland, thank you for the opportunity to put me on a winning team. But if I'm going to win a championship, I'm going to win it here. I don't think that Matthew Stafford would have that same sentiment that Joe Thomas would, because I think that the Detroit Lions, as bad as my Browns have been as a franchise, they took care of Joe. They've taken care of Matthew Stafford. But to be that good for that long and not have a shot, like Joe Thomas is a special kind of loyal. I think if you, if you called up Joe Thomas and you went, hey, you can go play for the Packers with Aaron Rodgers and win a Super Bowl next year, would you do it? He might have said yes because he's a Wisconsin boy. But I do believe he would have stayed with the Browns. I think if given the opportunity to go to Dallas this year to go win a Super Bowl in Jerry's world with the team that they have, I think, A, Matthew Stafford's a great piece to bring in, and B, I think, or I'll give you three. But B, I think he deserves it. And C, I think he'd say yes. Joe Thomas always said no to leaving. I think Matthew Stafford would say yes.
EJ, I have to disagree with that. Okay. No, I don't think Stafford.
Well, that's why you're new to the show.
What's that?
I said that's why you're new to the show, new to the brand, because you don't know. You think you know.
No, I don't think Stafford, he's not getting traded this year. Can we just put it at that? He will not go to Dallas
this year. I don't think the Lions will propose the trade, but if the trade was put out there, do you think he'd say no? He's from Dallas.
I think he'd say no.
That's dumb.
It's not dumb at all.
Actually. He's not Barry or Megatron. Those were two of the best players ever to play their position. And Barry, I'm going to exclude from this conversation because Barry's a special kind of loyal, okay? Barry's the kind of guy that when he won the Heisman Trophy, didn't go to the ceremony because he didn't like the pomp and circus. Barry Sanders didn't like making the Madden cover. Barry Sanders doesn't like doing interviews to this day. Okay, it's the same reason why he never celebrated in the end zone. And Lions fans will always tell you that he handed the ball to the referee, but occasionally toss it, okay? Barry wasn't the almighty god that Lions fans make him out to be. But he was a god, and he was a classy player. But the legend of Barry is bigger than Barry. The legend of Calvin Johnson is bigger than Calvin. Matt Stafford ain't that guy, okay? He's I don't think you can expect that kind of loyalty out of him. I honestly think that if he was like, hey, Matt, I know you've done a great job. You're 30-something years old. You got family. You've been in Detroit. Thank you for everything that you did. Hey, do you want a chance to go win a Super Bowl at Dallas? I think Matthew Stafford would be like, bye. I honestly think he would.
Agree to disagree, EJ. We should. Okay, we're going to move on. We'll move on. We can talk about this.
We'll go fight about this in the parking lot after.
Yes, we will.
Okay. So, Dak, I'm going to briefly hit on this. Houston Texans last week fired head coach and GM Bill O'Brien. Brought in an experienced former head coach. Now, I don't want to give the Texans too much credit because I think that, you know, the phrase of the day I think is going to be dumpster fire. They are a dumpster fire down there. I don't know that they have the amount of talent to be successful this year. I think Deshaun Watson is incredible. I really like healthy David Johnson, but he can't stay healthy.
Sadly.
I do like Brandon Cooks, but he's been moved to, what is this, his third or fourth different team in so many years? Can we give a little credit to Romeo Crennel? Guy that used to, and the only reason I want to give a little credit is because he used to coach my Cleveland Browns, and he is at 73 years old, has become last week the Houston Texans who hadn't won a game until they fired Bill O'Brien. Romeo Crennel is now the oldest head coach in NFL history to win a game at 73 years old. Can we give the man a little credit for that?
Oh, 100%. Good for him. And it's 73. That's old, man. That is old to coach a football team in the NFL to win. Yeah, that's
old. And he's not that good.
No, he's not. The Texans beat like Jacksonville or something. I mean, they still played.
Well, you know, you're not that good when you get fired as a Browns head coach.
Exactly. But yeah, and I actually looked this up in an article, and I think Belichick and Pete Carroll are coming up on his record pretty soon here, four years. So hey, he has it for now.
Pete Carroll. Bill Belichick, I just want to make sure I point this out, used to be the head coach for the Cleveland Browns before the New England Patriots and before the New York Jets for about an hour.
Does that hurt you? Like he didn't do anything in Cleveland and just leaves? And
To say that he didn't do anything is incorrect.
Okay. But
because the Browns in 1995 were the favorite to win the Super Bowl. We had a fantastic team. Bernie Kosar, Ernest Biner, Brian Brennan. Great offensive side of football. It's just we Art Modell. I'll say it that way so I don't swear. Art Modell. But Romeo Crennel is not going to be the answer there. I'm just glad that he's won as many games that he has. you know, you can try to compare Bill Belichick and this and that, but Houston's going through some things that we haven't seen. They have far more talent than they do coaching. I'm going to be polite here. I'm not entirely sure where I want to take this, so Tyler, run away with it.
Well, yeah, Texans, you said it right. Way more talent than – well, Bill O'Brien traded Hopkins, dude. We've talked about that before, but come on. Like, you can't
– hands down, the dumbest trade in the history of the National Football League. You do not trade away the best wide receiver in the league. And that's debatable, but – Here's where I say it's not. Throw a ball in anybody's hands, and I promise you, D-Hop ain't going to miss.
And also, another thing is, you got in a fight with J.J. Watt, out of all people, a couple days before we got fired. That's kind of what put him over the edge, like, you're gone.
A Walter Payton Man of the Year Award winner.
It's J.J. Watt.
Raised millions of dollars for Houston.
He's, like, the best NFL, like, person there is, and you get in a fight with that guy. I mean, come on, you deserve to be gone, man. So I want to touch on one of the NFL. I'm going to give it to you. The Browns. You were in attendance. Yes, you were.
I was.
Good for you. Going to an NFL game.
For those that can't tell, my voice is a little raspy this week. Yes, I did attend the Indianapolis Colts at my Cleveland Browns this week at First Energy Field in Cleveland, Ohio. Don't ask me my memories of the game. Just ask me if I had a good time.
You showed me some videos and it looked like you had a good time. I was
hooting and hollering. When I go to a Browns game, it's something else, man. But no, I thought the Browns played particularly well. The only thing I didn't like about that game, Baker Mayfield throwing two interceptions. But I do like capitalizing on offensive errors on the side of the Colts, getting a pick six. I thought Kareem Hunt played incredibly well. And when I was at the tailgate this weekend, I think I had a nice conversation. I will not say about confident in the Browns winning this game. And I said, I'm confident in the Browns running game this week. He's like, well, I'm not sure because, you know, Nick Chubb's down. I said, watch the interaction when Nick Chubb went down last week. When Nick Chubb went down, and Tyler, lean in a little bit. I'm gonna talk my way through this. Nick Chubb looked at Kareem Hunt, and Kareem Hunt pat him on the chest and goes, "I got this." And Nick Chubb pat him back and goes, "I know." And that's when I was like, "Yo, these two dudes trust each other." De'Ernest Johnson ran a great football game. Hillard's been fantastic in his role as a second or third running back on this offense. But a biggest piece for the Browns has been Odell. Odell has been playing great wide receiver football for this team for the last 2 weeks. Jarvis getting more touches. But I think that the fact that Baker's starting to trust Odell on the outside a little bit more says a lot. And I think that the biggest thing for the Browns, and which is the biggest loss for the Vikings, is Kevin Stefanski. We got some real coaching now. And that is what excites me about these Cleveland Browns. I'm excited about the game in Pittsburgh this week. I'll put my chips on the line here. I picked up the Browns defense this week on my fantasy team to play Pittsburgh. And James Conner is my running back.
That's some risky business right there, going against each other pretty much.
Here's the thing. But here's the thing that people don't realize in this Browns game coming up. Number one, growing up in Cleveland, we hate Pittsburgh. Number two, Kareem Hunt is from Cleveland, hates Pittsburgh. Myles Garrett lost his season by hitting a player from which team in the helmet?
Pittsburgh.
Who allegedly called him the N-word. This game coming up is not just about football. This is about Cleveland versus Pittsburgh. There's more on the line than people realize, and I think that the Browns fans – and the Browns players understand why they need to be better more than why Pittsburgh wants to win this football game. What's the spread on the game this week?
EJ, I was just about
2.5.
Let me look. If it's that, I'm betting the Browns, but let me look.
Here's the thing. I think that even with Nick Chubb out, if Baker, and I'll asterisk this, as long as Baker Mayfield throws one interception or less, I think the Browns win this football game. I don't care if it's in Cleveland or in Pittsburgh. I don't think that kicking is the point that breaks it. And I also go as far to say that out of all the games this year, this is the game where James Conner gets hurt because he's not been healthy every year of his career. And Myles Garrett is going to be coming into the backfield, pun intended, looking to take your head off.
You're really on fire with the puns tonight.
Dude, I'm on it, baby.
But no, yeah, 3.5. 3.5, Pittsburgh, -3.5. I'm going to be taking Browns +3. That's 3 points. Yeah, I like that. But you were saying, yeah, at Pittsburgh, you made a lot of good reasons for me to bet on the Cleveland Brownies this weekend. So that might have to happen. So, but yeah, so moving on from our football talk, we went in.
Well, we usually, we try to keep this to about an hour, and I'll give you this real quick. NBA finals.
Have to touch on that.
Before we get into baseball's last piece here, NBA finals, do you have any quick thoughts on that or NBA?
As everyone knows, LA wins. LA wins. It was bound to happen. It was good for LA, honestly, because I don't know. I mean, LeBron wins again, big time. But Anthony Davis, both of them just playing crazy good. But you brought up a stat to me. LeBron, he has now won the most playoff games ever.
Yes.
100.
LeBron in game six was his 260th career playoff game, which allows him to pass Lakers great. And I think he coached Oklahoma City for your Derek Fisher for most playoff games ever. And then you gave me a fun stat about J.R.
Smith.
And I think you sent me that text with your shirt off.
J.R. Smith has now two rings, which many players do, but it's funny because it's J.R. Smith. Two rings, many as a New York Knicks franchise. Two rings. Good for J.R. Smith, everyone.
And he did it with his shirt off.
Yeah.
But last NBA piece real quick, and then we'll move on to – we'll close off on the ALCS, the NLCS. Ty Lue to the Clippers. Thoughts?
I think it's a good hire, straight up. He was an assistant this year with them, and I think it's going to be good. The Clippers need a new guidance. I didn't really like – we talked about Doc before. He's at Philly now. I don't
like Ty Lue and the Clippers. He was my coach for my Cleveland Cavaliers, and he felt very and Eric Spoelstra this year shut me up by putting Miami in the finals, okay? And I'm going to give him credit for that. But let's look at Eric Spoelstra, LeBron, Dwayne Wade era, Chris Bosh era. He looked like a placeholder, a talent manager. I think that Ty Lue looks like a talent manager here, like he did for the Cavaliers when he came in. I don't know that I – and Butch will give me a lot of crap for this because Butch knows Ty Lue and threatened to make me speak these words against him one time, to which I declined because I'm scared of Ty Lue. But I don't know that Ty Lue's a guy. I don't know that he's a good enough coach. I don't know that he's a better enough – a best enough player manager to make that work. I hope that it does. I want to like Ty Lue, but I don't know that he's the guy in the LA Clippers, especially on a 5-year deal.
That the 5-year thing, that's a big commitment to a guy. But the one thing that I do love about it's not even Ty Lue, it's Chauncey Billups getting hired as an assistant coach with him. That is a huge addition. And we were talking about this before the show. With Chauncey was a candidate for the coaching position with the Pistons and whatnot. But this is going to be huge for him. I mean, he's going to have experience as an assistant coach to a Clipper team who has a ton of talent. So I could see in a couple of years him I want him as living in Michigan. I'm not a huge Pistons fan. It's more of a Thunder fan, to be honest. But come back to Detroit and lead them in the right direction for Chauncey. So this is a great, great hire. Yeah, Chauncey Billups. This is EJ. Is this his first coaching experience? I think it is, right?
I think he
might have been on the bench in the past. Yeah.
I know that he was a favorite for my Cavaliers job before we brought in Beilein. I know before the Pistons brought in Dwayne Casey, he was in consideration for that Pistons job too. But I think that this is a, and I don't really care about the Ty Lue or the this or that. I don't even care what Doc Rivers goes. I really do think this is a smart move for Chauncey Billups. I think he will be an incredible basketball coach. I think he does need to get his feet wet. I think this is a perfect opportunity for Mr. Big Shot to take his shot. So a smart move for him. I like where this is going. So, Tyler, that about hits it. Actually, no. Last thing. Derrick Henry stiff arm.
Yeah, that was something else. He's had so many of those in his career now.
Well, last year he stiffed arm the entire Jaguars team down the field. This year he threw Josh Norman to Mars.
Yes, Earl Thomas too.
That
was a good one.
It was good, but it wasn't that Josh Norman.
It was good because Earl Thomas was talking crap, saying, "I'll stop him," literally the week before of the playoffs, and then he did that to him. That's why it was good.
No, it was good, but I was a big Derrick Henry fan. I just didn't think he'd be great in this first couple of years. So I'm glad he's doing well right now. But the dude is the master of the stiff arm. Tyler, put your hands down because the Georgia State team is going to beat Arkansas State today. So we're going to wrap up the show. Tyler, thank you so much for being here this week. I know our format was a little bit out of whack. Hopefully the recording went well. You sounded a lot better when I had you move over. So at the beginning of the show, there might be a little bit of interference on your mic. I hope not, because I think you were recording fine. So I think it'll come out nice, because even when we thought we were double recording on the first show, it came out good. But Tyler, what do you got going on this week, my friend?
This weekend, watching my Lions off the bye week, playing at Jacksonville. They're favored. Might be the only time this year an away game, and they're favorites by like 3.5. So watching the Lions and waiting for Michigan football. Not this week, but the next. So that's what I'll be doing.
Not much going on over here. Thank you so much to all of our listeners for listening to the Hot Seat, brought to you by myself, EJ Russell. You can hear me on the Game Sports Show Monday Night Edition on WKNW ESPN 1400. The In the Pocket segment on Wednesday nights when invited by Dave McKagan, the Canadian Boys. Tyler Ouellette is here. Escanab Excellence, the notorious NORSE. Tyler, thank you for joining us this week.
Thank you, EJ. Let's do it again next week.
You can catch the latest edition of the Game Sports Show at thegamesportsshow.com, ESPN 1400. This show is powered by the Game Entertainment Media Gem. Again, you can hear us at thegamesportsshow.com. Listen to every episode, including special editions like the Hot Seat, at thegamesportsshow.podbean.com. Check out Simply Butch 2. That's too.podomatic.com. Check out his podcast. Check out episodes of The Drive, all of the editions of the game. Again, my name is AJ Russell. He is Tyler Ouellette.
Yes, sir.
And that's this week's episode of The Hot Seat, live from Moe's Pub in Escanaba. 24 TVs, multiple local craft beers on tap. Best place to catch the game in Escanaba. Best pub in Escanaba, Moe's Pub. Again, my name is EJ Russell. He is Tyler Ouellette.
Yes, sir.
And that is this week's edition of The Hot Seat, brought to you by the Game Entertainment Media, powered by ESPN 1400. Check us out at thegamesportsshow.com. Listen to us online at thegamesportsshow.podbean.com. We're out of here for tonight. Tyler, thank you again.
Thank you, EJ.
And we'll see you next week on this episode of The Hot Seat, brought to you by the Game Entertainment Media. And we will see you.